Welcome back, and thank you for joining us as we continue the worship service that we began on Maundy Thursday. Today's service is a focus on Jesus' seven words spoken from the cross. These words will be read by leaders in Southridge Church, and I'd like to thank them for contributing to our service today. As we listen to the words that Jesus spoke from the cross, we are reminded of our own sin and guilt and shame that put Jesus on that cross, but we're also reminded of the great joy and peace that we have been forgiven by what Jesus experienced there for us. God bless you in your worship.
Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God.
Let us pray. God most holy, look with mercy on this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given over into the hands of the wicked, and to suffer death upon the cross. Keep us always faithful to him, our only Savior, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A word of forgiveness from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 through 34. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Sacred head, now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown, how pale which once was bright as morn. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered, 'twas all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace.
Word of promise from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verse 38 through 43. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me to life. I know that it is finished.
Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the gospel of our Lord.
What a wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What a wondrous love is this, O my soul. What a wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. I'll sing on, and when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing His love for me, and through eternity I'll sing on, I'll sing on, and through eternity I'll sing.
Agony from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 45 through 49. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
God's grace and peace are yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Suddenly, right at noon, when the sun is brightest, it turned dark. It was so dark that there was no sunlight at all, nor moon or stars, just darkness. Everything came to a stop. And it was no eclipse. Historians tell us that as far away as Egypt, everyone was experiencing the same mysterious and frightening darkness. The darkness came because of a crucifixion, an ugly way to put people to death. It could sometimes take a couple days to die, depending upon how badly the person had been whipped, how hot and how long it must have been. The executed criminal's diaphragm worked slower and slower until he was asphyxiated, as his breast became shallower and shallower. Jesus was with two others on their crosses outside of Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of people had followed him, listening intently to him, singing his praises. Less than a week before, a crowd had called him Savior. A few hours before this moment, he had acknowledged that he was the King of Heaven and the Kingdom of Truth. He was God's special soldier, but now the warrior was dying. This was the final battle, the big one. He had come into this world and had worked every day of his life to prepare for this. Your future, my future, and the future of everyone who has ever lived was hanging on the outcome of this battle. Websites that list the greatest battles of all time say that their criteria is usually based on the influence of a battle on history. Battles, cultures, countries, leaders, and forms of government all have influence on history, but they come and go, except for Jesus and this battle. The life of Jesus is the most significant single life in all of history, and what happened on the cross at his death changed the entire world and everyone who has ever lived. Jesus' enemy attacked him relentlessly. The physical agony that Jesus suffered was horrendous. He had already been distressed the night before in Gethsemane. There was no sleep at all that night because of the trials. Then came the special punishment, the crown of thorns, the constant mocking, the pulling out of his beard, the blows to his face, the humiliation of having his clothing stripped off, the cruel scourging that ripped out skin and flesh down to the bone with each lash. Weakened, he was forced to carry that heavy crossbeam until he collapsed. Only after all that did they lay him down on the cross and drive long nails through his wrists and feet and hoist the cross up and into its hole as the soldiers and the Jewish leaders mocked him. How can anyone do such things to another human being? That's our Savior they're torturing. It's hard to read, let alone to watch a recording of that account. But Jesus withstands that pain without complaint. As a matter of fact, you hear him speak some amazing words on the cross. First, he offers a prayer asking the Father to forgive all those who crucified and mocked him. Then he answered the desperate prayer of the thief who believed in him with the tremendous gospel promise of heaven that very day. And calmly, and with a tender concern for his mother, he told John to care for her. But there was darkness. And we begin to realize that all his physical suffering was perhaps like an insect sting compared to the spiritual suffering that was happening on the cross. The darkness shows us how much God hates sin, that terrible thing that always separates us from him. The darkness is both God's reaction to the judicial murder of his son and God's dreadful judgment upon sin as suffered by his son. We may be grateful in a way for the darkness. It certainly must have shut up the mockers. But it also covered up what no eyes should ever have to see as Jesus was on that cross alone against all the forces of hell. Satan hates Jesus. And this is the moment when he now saw the Son of Man and the Son of God at his weakest, where he might be vulnerable. Satan will do everything to force Jesus to give up his life's work of paying for your guilt and mine and for atoning for the world's sins. The devil's lying reaches a fever pitch. Perhaps he whispered to Jesus, "You won't make any difference, Son of God. You are not big enough to cover the whole world's guilt and sin. The whole history of humanity is on my side. Why care about these people? They turned on you. Even Judas and Peter did it. Thousands will turn on you later." The internal pain and pressure mount higher and higher. So much darkness. What have I done to cause this? What have you done that Jesus should suffer so? The weight of the sins of billions upon billions of people are pressing down all the massacres in the world, all the hatred, all the bitterness, every horrible thing you and I have ever said, thought, and done. And Jesus is fighting this powerful evil angel in this great darkness alone, pure, holy, and faithful, still loving us, still holding his ground. Even children can understand that this is why Jesus is both God and man. Man to be our substitute in our place. God to be able to pay for all the sins of humanity. But now the worst part. The Father's white-hot anger is burning against him. Think of the power he had, the creator of the universe who crushed the world with a gigantic flood, who smashed Sodom and Gomorrah, who made the mountain tremble and shake for Moses. That's who is directing his full anger and fury, the power of hell, against Jesus. You can hear it in Jesus' voice as his tone changes. An awful and loud cry come from those tortured lungs. Perhaps it's a scream. And you know its message. My God, why have you forsaken me? We know our triune God is our one eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can't get our head around the fact that now the Son is being forsaken. But the Father, source of all true love in this world, turns his back on the Son whom he had so clearly declared at his own baptism and on the Transfiguration Mountain, this is the one whom I love. The Father suspends his relationship with his Son so that that warrior Son could pay for this entire world's sins. It must have torn at the Father's heart. His wrath is focused on the evil that Jesus bore because he so hates the malignant tumor of sin that is causing the human race to rot. At the beginning of this suffering, Jesus called him Father. You can see the intimacy, the closeness. Now he says, my God, as he loudly asks with that big why question. Notice how formal it is. Why have you forsaken me? You can see that while the relationship is broken, his faith is still strong, even as he is left alone. This is the moment of sheer horror for our warrior. It's the worst moment of his life, and his lonely suffering has reached its peak on that cross. It is here that the battle is either going to be won or lost as Jesus suffers for us. An Old Testament prophet Isaiah explains what is happening. He wrote, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted." All this is because of us. Jesus remained perfect and holy in himself this entire time, yet our sin was charged to him, and he was willingly paying for it. No matter how old you are, by now you have noticed something about yourself, as have I. We are not always aware of how much we sin, but we are aware that something is broken deep inside of us. Often we think that we will just work harder to break the anger habit, the laziness habit, the lust habit, the greed habit, that overeating habit, or all the other sins we find ourselves falling back on. But newsflash, our problem is bigger than that. It's deeper than that. We cannot work hard enough. We need a bigger warrior who can purchase forgiveness for us all. This is God's grace in all its sweat and blood. It was a fierce battle, but in the end there was victory. Perhaps the darkness began to retreat, the mockers starting again, thinking Jesus' cry was begging for Elijah to come back. But the end is near. They wait, not long. Things happen very quickly. Jesus is thirsty. Then he calls God his Father again, as he commits his spirit to him. And then that loud cry that we'll hear in just a moment. It is finished, and it tells us everything. In this great battle of all time, the work of atoning for humanity is over. Jesus has smashed Satan's head, as predicted in the Garden of Eden. It's a clear knockout blow. The devil is mortally wounded, still walking around, but he can no longer win. Satan had thought he had heaven's gates locked down tightly, but Jesus took off the locks and has locked Satan down with a restricting chain. Our home in heaven is prepaid. There is nothing more you or I or even God has to do to pay for our guilt and sin. We are forgiven every day of our lives. His work is done. He's exhausted, but everything is just as it should be. So it's time for him to leave. The soldiers, the mockers, hell, and Satan could not kill him. Now of his own free will, he gives his soul into his Father's loving hands. Our holy Jesus, who remained unspotted and unblemished as he experienced our hell, now offers his pure and perfect life as the final once and for all sacrifice that has been promised ever since Eden's garden. The victory is won. It is finished. Amen.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son, God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. Yet the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Suppose the evil great here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the word, the anointed Son of Man and Son of God. Thank you. shall ever be confounded, who on him their hope have built.
A word of fulfillment from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 28 through 29. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
My song is love unknown, my Savior's love to me, love to the loveless, shown that they might lovely be. Oh, who am I that for my sake my Lord should take frail flesh and die? He came from his blessed throne, salvation to bestow, but such disdain, so few that longed for Christ would know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. Sometimes they strew his way, and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their King. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst. What has my Lord done? What makes this rage and spite? He made the lame to run, he gave the blind their sight. Sweet injuries, yet they at these themselves displease and against him rise. Stay and sing. No story so divine. Never was love, dear King. Never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could glad.
of completion from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 30. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Suffering, I am. crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross, Son of God.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 46. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the gospel of our Lord.
My God, why would you share?
Please join your hearts with me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, in humble awe, in reverent silence, and in solemn trembling, your people have gathered around your cross to remember your death. O friend of sinners, have mercy on us. At your cross, let us see all the ugliness, horror, and misery that sin, death, and Satan brought into this world, and that you willingly took upon yourself. Open our eyes to see that we deserve the death and the torment of hell that you suffered for us. But open our eyes also to see that by your death you destroyed death. By your sacrifice you made us one with your Father, and by the blood you shed, you purchased us to belong to you forever. Help us believe that we are worth that much to you. Fill us with joy and peace in believing that we are truly free from condemnation and forgiven by your Father. Help us to dedicate our lives in thankful love to you who gave yourself for us. And hear us, O Lamb of God, as we pray as you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Burial, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 50 to 53. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. This is the gospel of our Lord. After this next song, we will again pause our worship service as we look forward to concluding it on Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the fact that this death that Jesus died for us earned every single thing that he intended it, as we see his resurrection and the proof of our forgiveness.
See him there, the great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head. The Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. And lifted up on Calvary's hill, we curse your name, and even still you bore our shame and paid the cost. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb, the story every day.
awful love, this sacrifice for every sin. Our Savior died, the Lord of life can't be contained. Our God has risen from the grave. Oh, our God has risen from the grave. Oh, behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujahs to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours.
When the age of death is done, we'll see your bright as the sun, we'll bow before the King of Kings. Oh God, forever we will sing. Behold the Lamb, the story.